Let us pray. Dr. Phil, please forgive us. Please forgive our sins and do not send us to the ranch. May you send your enemies and those who would persecute us to the ranch, but please spare us your fury and do not send us to the ranch. Amen.
Amen. I feel better now.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
So we have a dilemma today. A little bit of a dilemma. It's going to be all right. But yeah. So we had planned on having a guest, Malachi Arrieta, and he had some unfortunate sleeping in issues. We're not quite sure why. But anyway, he's very apologetic, and we have rescheduled him to be on the podcast for May the 3rd. And coming in and sharing about what he's been working on. And
so you guys will probably get it like the week after, something like that?
Yeah. We're going to be caught up this week. So,
boom.
Yeah. We're going to release last week's episode, hopefully today. Today is Friday, April the
19th.
19th.
I'm good with days.
Yes, you are. So hopefully we'll release last week's today. This will come out Monday or Tuesday following week, and then we should be up to speed. And then hopefully what we'll have is every week we do our recording on Fridays, and then the following Tuesday evening should be our latest episode scheduled release.
Because we're cool like that.
Because we're getting cool like that.
Because we're getting cool.
Yeah. We're getting caught up here.
Anyway, but yeah, long story short, we forgive you. Malachi. And so does Dr. Phil. So
I don't know about the ranch, though. Because if you're forgiven, you might still go.
You might still go to the ranch.
Maybe we should have him on after he gets back from the ranch, too.
Dr. Phil or Malachi?
Malachi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Phil, he's not going to the ranch.
No.
He sends people to the ranch.
Yeah. You don't go to the ranch when you send people to the ranch.
Yeah.
It's like spanking yourself, right? You don't do that.
Yeah. That's okay.
Justin apparently does do that, and that's weird. No, okay, all right, moving on. He's doing really good. Aren't you proud of Justin for his self-control? Wow. I mean, I'm sure, hopefully, your wife will appreciate it.
Yeah, she will watch / listen sometimes.
Yeah.
So she does criticize some of the things that I say.
I'm sure, like no one else does. That's what a good wife, that's part of a good wife.
Yeah.
What we need.
Yeah. She's like, should you have said that? And I'm like, probably not, you know?
Right.
But
it's kind of like Dr. Phil.
Yeah. She's probably going to be like, why did you pray to Dr. Phil? Like, that's really weird. And I'm going to be like, so I don't go to the ranch.
Right.
You know?
And Allie, she doesn't go to the ranch. She sends you to the ranch.
Yeah. She'll send me to the ranch, if anything. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I can't send her to the ranch. That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. So we haven't caught up for a while. We kind of decided let's shoot the breeze, catch up on life. So how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, work is just what it is. I could continue to talk about it, but it's boring as heck, so why would I? and, you know, I got a new amp, which we've talked about.
Yes.
Much better than any amp I've ever owned.
Yes.
I got a new cab. So I got a new cab with two Celestion V30s in it. And they just
roar. Are those tubes? Is that what that is?
Well, the amp is a tube amp, but the cab.
Well, you said it has two. What did you call them?
Celestion V30s.
Yeah, is that a tube?
Or no, they're speakers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I would say that they're kind of like an industry standard for like rock, hardcore, anything, just heavy music in general. Celestion V30s
shows my knowledge of amp speakers.
I don't think they're necessarily great for every application, but they're like they're pretty balanced, but then they have kind of a bassy tilt.
Yeah.
So they're you can get them really loud, and they handle grit really well.
Mm.
And it's still there's a lot of clarity. That's awesome. I got a cab for that, and then I got an EVH 5150. It doesn't like it was somewhat of a compromise in a lot of ways. Because it doesn't do everything that I want, but I don't know that there is an amp that does everything that I want. I want like really, like I wanted a really clean head channel or clean channel. What am I saying? I wanted a really clean channel that was super good for basically any kind of ambient application. And then I also wanted like a super high gain channel. And then I wanted a mid gain channel. So yeah. I got all of those. There is.
You want a multi-purpose amp.
I really do. Yeah. So it has three channels, which is good. There is a volume drop issue, which I knew about that I have not fixed yet. I have kind of like a, this is probably kind of boring, but I do have a temporary fix where I put a boost pedal in front of, so in the effects loop, and then I have the volume dropped. So what I did was I cranked the clean. So there's like a volume drop between the first and the second channel. So when you go, because they share the same knobs. So if you go to the clean channel from the dirty channel or the crunch channel, there's a volume drop. Gotcha. So what I did was I put the clean channel and the lead channel, which is the third, on the same volume level. So when I go to the blue channel, i.e. the crunch channel, it's like super loud.
Right.
But then I have a pedal that cuts the volume for it.
So all these channels run out of your amplifier independent? Or do they run out of the same master?
If I got the 100-watt version, they would all be independent channels.
Yeah.
But I got the mini, which is a 50-watt, a lot cheaper.
Right.
And I didn't need 100 watts. So I was like, whatever. So there's a couple different like permanent fixes for the volume drop issue. And the new models have two knobs. So the first two channels share one set of controls. Again, this is, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. But
hopefully somebody out there listening is like, they'll geek out on guitar amps. Yes.
So the first two channels share one set of controls. So you have to, you know, all the EQ and then all of the volume is the same knob. Mm-hmm. But there's a huge, and when I first was looking at getting this amp, I looked at the blueprints for the circuit board, and like there's a few different fixes you can do to amplify the clean channel and then drop the volume of the dirty channel. And I've heard it costs like $30 to $50 to pay somebody to do it. Mm. So I might go that route, but for now, I just have a pedal in front where I just cut the volume on it.
So who makes the amp?
EVH. So it's a Fender. Fender manufactures the amp. Mm-hmm. And I once heard it described as like one of the best designed but poorly manufactured amps. Mm-hmm. And I got a later iteration, so it doesn't have nearly as many issues. But like the first couple iterations, everybody was just super disappointed with it because it was just conking out all the time. Like they would buy one, send it back because it didn't work, get a new one, and then the new one wouldn't work either.
Yeah, that's – I hate when that happens.
Yeah, but it sounds great. It's not – like it goes super loud, but there's not a lot of hiss, which is good.
Yeah, and hopefully they can fix that channel issue at some point.
Yeah, I mean I'm not in a huge rush about it, but because I mean most of my stuff is either clean or I'm going to be doing the lead channel.
Right. No, I meant like as a manufacturer, hopefully they could – put out a product where that's not an issue.
Yeah,
it seems like a pretty common thing that, you know, you're going to lose volume on an ambient channel, you know, over crunch.
Yeah.
And so to compensate for that somehow on the unit itself would be.
Well, the new 50 watts, which the reason I didn't buy a new one is because they're super expensive, but it's like $1,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's got the it's the same layout, but they have like inset knobs. Mm. So like they have two, it's like a stacked pot or something. Mm. But like, I don't remember what it's called, but you've got a bigger knob.
Yep.
And then you have one on top. Mm-hmm. So you can control the channels independently, but the EQ knobs are shared. Yeah. So gain and volume each have two knobs. Yeah. So but yeah, one day I'll probably just bite the bullet and buy the 100-watt one.
Yeah.
And the 50-watt will be my home amp or something like that. But,
Or your smaller shows.
Yeah, or I'll get like a Mesa Boogie or something. That was kind of my dream one, is to get like a Mesa Boogie, but it was like right place, right time kind of situation. Gotcha. And I was like, it's just within my price point, so I bought it. And I'm a gear junkie, like you know me. I'm just like, I'm always like wanting to buy stuff.
Right.
But
yeah, I mean, and everybody just saw how much of a junkie you are, because I said, how are you doing, Justin? And for, what, 5 minutes, you just went off about your new amp.
I bought a new amp.
Which is great. That's awesome.
Yeah, I also bought a noise suppressor, but that's less exciting.
Yeah.
It's the TC Electronic one. It was between that one and the Boss, but the TC Electronic one had a few more features, so I got that one.
Did you know that Boss, I hope I'm getting this right, is originated from Roland?
Yeah.
I was watching a history thing on Roland the other day. I didn't get that far through it, but man, it was really interesting.
Yeah.
Just about where they started and the guy who started it and all the different morphs.
Yeah. Well, people rip on Boss, but I don't know why. I mean, they make some great pedals. Like the bassist for my band, like he uses a Boss distortion pedal on his bass, and it's fat.
I love that.
It sounds freaking dope.
I love that pedal.
Yeah, and it's like you still get a ton of clarity.
It's not, for me, it's not really, yeah, that type of distortion. It's almost like it's like a crackle as opposed to a crunch.
Yeah, it's almost like a fuzz.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a fuzz. Like, it's...
But even the
fuzz... But it's still really clear. Like, fuzz typically isn't very... Like, if you play a chord with a fuzz pedal, sometimes it's just like a wall, which is fine depending on the application, but his distortion pedal, it's like the bass comes through really well still.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fuzz is constant. You know, like every note you hear or every sound coming out is its constant fuzz, where his, it seems like it's almost got like timed interval crackle stuff going on, and like not all of the distortion happens at equal volumes. I don't know.
Yeah.
When I heard it, it's really nice. I like it.
Well, fuzz is like a really, really, again, this is kind of a nerdy thing. I don't even know. But fuzz is more of a drastic effect than distortion. Like distortion just basically, it's like a soft clip a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas fuzz is like a hard clip. So it's almost like a square now because you're cutting off so much of the sound waves.
Yeah.
Whereas distortion, it's like you just kind of get the tip. So you kind of go up in a very organic way, and then the sound wave is clipped at the top, and so you still come down. Yeah. So it's grainier and grittier and gnarlier, but whereas fuzz is just like it's cut the feet off, it's cut the head off, it's just a torso and some legs, you know?
Yeah, I don't feel like, so anyway, I don't know what's going on with that pedal, but it's awesome.
It is. We should bring him in here and just the whole episode, just talk about that pedal.
Right.
Yeah.
To be continued.
Yeah, the guy that does the JHS vlog, the guy that started JHS, I don't even remember his name, but he did a whole episode of his vlog called Boss is Best.
Yeah.
And he just talked about Boss pedals for like 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
He really respects them.
That's awesome. So, okay. Got new toys. That's cool. What else is going on?
I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't really do much, if I'm going to be honest. I go to work, I come home, I play my guitar, hang out with my wife. Oh, we watched Game of Thrones, the first episode. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
The very first one?
Well, the first episode of the season, I should have clarified.
Oh, I thought they were done.
This is the last season.
Oh, okay.
It took a long break. It was like a year and a half break while they were filming this one. Yeah. It's 6 episodes, and each one is like the shortest episode length is 55 minutes-ish.
Gotcha.
And then the longest length is like 120.
Gotcha.
Hour and 20, I should say.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have been talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
Did you guys like it?
I mean, I had some gripes.
Yeah.
I guess we can get into it. It seemed like it was overly callbacky.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was some cool nods to the very first episode of the show, and that's fine, but it seemed like a lot of the character interactions were like two characters would meet up and they'd be like, "Hey, remember how like that one time?" Like,
and then
like, this is our whole history together.
Right.
And it's like, it got cringy after like the fourth or fifth time that it happened. Oh, you're like, okay, like,
we get
what
it.
The heck? And they did a little bit of that in the last season too. And, you know, that's kind of annoying because it's almost a little too referential. Like, oh, well, by the way, this is a TV show, you know?
Yes.
And I hate that because that's what made Game of Thrones so cool is it's like you watch all these characters and they could potentially never interact in the entirety of the show.
Right.
You know, you have whole character arcs where they're continents away and they never interact because it's not like a web in a traditional sense.
Yeah.
like one character across the continent will be doing things that affect the other characters, but only conversationally.
Yeah.
And that was what was so cool about it. It felt very organic. But then by making it so like, oh, and then this character, like they team up and like, it, and it just kind of became a little too TV showy.
Yeah.
But it's still good. And I hope that it ends well. I think a lot of it was just kind of catching everybody up again. Yeah. You know, it was an hour long episode, but you know, just kind of catching everybody up. And then probably next episode, everybody's going to die or something. So
yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It's a bummer with shows that the tendency for like the last couple seasons, it just a lot of times ends up going downhill, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, Game of Thrones has kept ahead of that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make this like relevant to our podcast somehow. But one of the things I've always loved about Game of Thrones is like I think that the main thrust narratively is that people are terrible. And that's like the main point is like at every opportunity or almost every opportunity that someone has to do something good, they do something evil. and you're looking at it and you're thinking this would have been a perfect opportunity to redeem yourself and prove that you're not as horrible as everyone thinks you are, but you did the exact thing that everyone assumed that you would do, and you proved to everyone that you're as horrible as they think you are. And that's the entire show, basically. It's just repeated over and over. And all the time, you're like, well, not this time. Like, this time they won't be bad.
This is their moment.
Yeah.
To turn their life around.
And then there's a few exceptions. Like, you know, characters that you assume are always going to be a little bit rotten kind of turn around a little bit. Great example. One of the most hated characters, I would argue, of the early part of the show became one of the most liked. He's the incestuous twin of, I mean, it's like the legendary meme, right? So there's these twins that are doing it. And the guy component of the twins, he eventually kind of is like, I don't really want to get into plot details, but he's just like, I'm done with you. I'm done with this. I'm out. And, you know, so he kind of redeems himself over the show and he suffers so much. Like, and that's part of what makes it interesting is like he does all these horrible, horrible things to characters that you love. And then he's punished for it. And you're like, yeah, get him. And then after a while, you're like, okay, this is excessive. Like,
you start like, kind of rooting for him a little bit.
Like, a little, yeah, because like he's a sword fighter, right? Mm-hmm. That's like his whole identity is rooted in the fact that he's good at sword fighting. And then his sword fighting hand is cut off.
Wow.
And the wound gets infected. And they like pee on him. And like all this horrible stuff happens to him. And he's like debased to the lowest level of humanity. And you're just like, you deserve it. But I still feel bad.
Right.
So. Wow. But that's the whole show boiled down. I would say philosophy-wise, it's just people are terrible.
And that's perfect because that leads us right into the relevance of our podcast, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, today we don't really have a relevance to our podcast because our guest didn't show, which we absolutely forgive. But
and so is Dr. Phil.
So we're even probably going to be a little more tangent-y. Is that a word? For
no.
today.
But that's
it is now.
Tangent-y. You know, every word was invented.
Right.
So.
I'm going to start right now. Tangent-y. So, okay, Game of Thrones. You guys going to finish it out? Are you guys all up to speed? You've been watching it the whole time?
Yep.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we'll finish it out. And I'll probably the next time I talk about it will be when it finishes.
Yeah.
But, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The last season didn't have nearly as much like sexual content.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt more organic, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times in the previous seasons, I should say, there was like a ton of sexual content and you're just like they're literally only doing this because it's HBO and they have to have a sex scene every episode.
Right.
And in the last season there was way fewer. And so it felt more like okay, it's just like a normal TV show.
Yeah.
And there was one scene in particular in the new episode that was kind of just like cringy because you're like, this is, we're back to this.
Right.
It's just a distraction. I'm like, I don't even care about this.
Right.
So just from a narrative perspective, I felt like it was a little bit cringy.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. See, I tried with Game of Thrones and I had to bow out because it was too much.
Well, the first season, I would say, is probably one of the worst when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So.
And that was when I.
That was probably when you.
Yeah. 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 I'm like, peace.
Yeah. I think there's like a slight section or sequence that is way worse, but that's in like season two or three.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just, like, there's way less of it after that. But.
Yeah, because it was kind of like, I really liked how the storyline was going, but yeah. It was like, I can't watch this through that and keep going.
Yeah, and who can blame you, you know?
Yeah, hopefully no one.
Yeah, hopefully.
But maybe a lot of people.
Well, I mean, if they, never mind, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it. If anyone blames you, Dr. Phil is just going to send him to the ranch.
Send him to the ranch.
Send him to the ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if Dr. Phil watches Game of Thrones.
Probably. I heard he had Ben Shapiro on his show.
Oh, yeah?
So that's hysterical. And in the ad for it, Dr. Phil's like, I've heard you say that facts don't care about your feelings, but I'm going to tell you some facts about your feelings. And then Ben Shapiro just runs away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. I love that he's embracing the meme. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like him and Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro was on an episode of PewDiePie's meme review, where he just reviewed memes about himself. It's pretty awesome. I love it.
How do you find that? It's
YouTube. Yeah, it's hard to find PewDiePie videos because he just names them really random names.
Right.
But if you search like PewDiePie Ben Shapiro, it should pop up. So.
Yeah.
Fun. I really hope Dr. Phil. Does a meme review.
Is there a lot of good ones with him? I don't know if I've seen.
Well, PewDiePie does a whole Dr. Phil series where he watches episodes or at least segments of episodes of Dr. Phil and like does commentary. And it basically always ends with PewDiePie going, send them to the ranch. Send them to the ranch.
Wow.
But yeah.
I'm doing good.
That's good. What have you been up to? This is probably the worst episode we've ever done.
It could be the best. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's just nothing to do with anything.
No. I'm doing good. What have I been up to? Oh, man. Getting ready for Easter. Easter's a pretty big deal. It's like my wife's favorite holiday, so we go all out. We go all out. You know, it's funny with, like, egg hunts. You know, they have these egg hunts all over the city, which I don't know why they call them hunts. It's like a relay race, right? And if you're not the fast kid, you know, it's basically like there's 4 million eggs in front of you on a flat field. Yeah. Mike, it's that go! And then, like,
yeah, you know,
I was a chubby kid, dude. So it's like I'm at the back of the line.
I think you could probably create, like, some kind of trawler situation where there's, like,
booby traps.
That's not really what I was thinking. Right, I was thinking more of like a carriage that you pull behind you and it just picks up the eggs. Like you know, there's like a wheel that's turning and it sweeps like maybe like a bunch of broom heads and just sweeps the eggs into like a bin.
Right.
And you're just running over the eggs and it's just all going into the basket and everybody's like, oh, darn, I didn't make a thing.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But again, all the fast kids. If they had one of those, I'm still the slow kid with the carriage.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. If you're the slow kid with the carriage, right, you don't have to stop to pick them up. So you will catch up to the fast kids because the fast kids have to stop, grab the egg, put it in, run to the next one. You're just going to be running the whole time. Mm. You don't care.
Well, it'd be cool, too, if it was, like, heavy duty enough to actually – you can maul over the kids themselves.
And the kids will go in the bin.
Right? And then, but, like, for them, it's just – and then spits them out behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to make that happen.
So
yeah,
I could probably do that.
Yeah. So you know, you got these egg relay races, right?
Yeah.
And you know, for me, my mom always hid eggs for me, and I love it. You know, you have to search, you have to find them. They're you know, they're not all the same.
You have to get into the hider's psyche.
Yes, exactly. Because you're like,
if I was so and so, where would I hide the eggs?
Right. Unless you're somebody that is like, hey, I'm hiding these eggs for this individual, right? Like, there's certain board games that you play that you have to think. Like, you can write your answer and be funny, but you really want to think, how do I answer this for the person who, you know, it's going to resonate with? Do you know
like
what I'm
when you're playing
about?
Apples to apples?
Exactly.
Like, you got to play the card that they are going to think is funny.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So if you're playing against, or if you're hiding eggs for a person like, if you're hiding eggs with that mentality, then that doesn't really work.
Unless, no, track with me here.
Okay.
Unless you're like going into your brain, okay, mm-hmm. your brain.
Yeah.
And you're saying to yourself, if I was a person that was hiding eggs for me, where would I think that they think they should hide them so that I would not find them?
That's good. Or if you're the type of person who's like, I'm hiding this for a person who thinks that I'm probably going to think how to hide them for the person, so I'm not going to.
Right, but then you could just take that into your equation. You could be like, if they're hiding eggs for a person and they're thinking, okay, they're going to be thinking about how I'm hiding eggs for them, so I need to hide them in that spot. And so you're thinking, I need to find the spot that the person who's hiding the eggs is thinking that I will think that they know where to put them, but they're going to put them in a different spot and then go to that spot to find the eggs.
So I think if that happens, I probably find the eggs before they hit them.
That's probably true.
Whoa.
Mind blown.
This reminds
me of... Just go into the closet and just grab the eggs.
You ever seen My Princess or The Princess Bride?
Yeah.
Yeah, that reminds me of that. Battle of the Wits.
Battle of Wits, yeah. I think it's one of the best movies.
It's great.
It really is good. I mean, it has flaws like any film, but... There's something about it that's just so unique and intriguing. And part of it is the fact that you know the actors are just kind of like, it's whatever. It feels like the script is whatever. Right. The actors are just like, I'm here. What's happening right now? And then that's exemplified in almost every scene, but it's still pretty high budget. Like when they go into the swamp and it's like, okay, this looks like a really good set. And then, like, a stuffed animal comes out and is, like, attacking him. And you're like, what the heck? You know, it comes together in a really funny way. And it's really intriguing. And the added layer of the grandfather telling the stories is, you know, adds another narrative layer yeah. there that's makes the movie better, I think.
Yeah.
And there's some great witticisms.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I love it. So, anyway, yeah, I'm doing good.
That's good.
I'm just doing this to mess with you at this point. It's
know,
so man. Good. Yeah, so we've been getting ready for Easter. We're excited. The kids are excited. It's one of my wife's favorite holidays. She doesn't know, but me and the kids put her together an Easter basket. Yeah, we went all out. And by the time she hears this, she will already have gotten it, so it doesn't really matter. Love you, babe. You're going to love it.
Does she listen to the podcast?
Never. So
yeah.
This is my hope.
Did you show her last episode?
No. No, so we got six kids at home, and she's, you know, she's the kind of person that I do well. If I have a lot of stuff to do, there's certain sounds that I do well with. I can listen to a teaching, or I can put certain music on and vibe with it. If she's got a lot of things going on, any added noise... just makes it more overwhelming for her.
Yeah.
And so
I get that.
Yeah. And then like I said, we got six kids at home. So there's no downtime, you know.
Yeah.
Best she could do is listen to it in the van, but unfortunately, we don't have Bluetooth or like an aux set up in the van.
Nice.
So yeah.
I almost think, you know, when you have like rowdy kids, you should just blast Dillinger Escape Plan and just like it's like it'll yeah. just, like...
Yeah. I haven't tried that with that.
But... It's almost like a temporary lobotomy.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I can't even process what's happening right now.
Yeah.
So I just shut down.
Oh, yeah. No, I love the idea. Because it's kind of like... You know, like, how do you like it?
Yeah.
How do you kids like it?
When
someone's screaming at you nonstop.
And in a time signature that you don't understand.
Right? Dude, I am like... Yeah, I'm doing that next time. Because I do that. Like, I turn up whatever's on there, like, sometime. Like, I'm done hearing you scream.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I haven't done anything really obnoxious.
Yeah, Dillinger Escape Plan does it well.
Yeah.
So.
I just want to see, experiment-wise, does it work? Or how are they going to respond?
I think it'll work.
Louder?
It works with my parents.
Yeah.
So, if I'm like, I'm done with this conversation. Just crank Dillinger Escape Plan. And they're like, what is this?
You still do
what
that?
Is it? No. Like, what is this? What is this? And they just say, what is this? Over and over. And then, get out of my life. I hate you. Shut up, Mom. Shut up, Dad.
Right.
I hate my life.
Oh, it's so funny.
Is that accurate? Or?
I think so. I'm just thinking, based on our last episode, you know, when we had Josh here and we were talking about post-hardcore and, yeah, like some of the elements, like, it's just how I felt. You
it's
know?
Just like this whining. What did he say? Like, he's like, I really like the whiny voice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I like the high-pitched
Shut
whiny
up, Mom. Right. I'm in a band. I play hardcore music.
That's so funny.
Yeah, he was in a hardcore band. I'm surprised he didn't talk about that.
Josh was?
Yeah.
What did he play?
He played bass. He did some scrims.
Josh did?
Yeah.
I didn't even know he could play anything.
Yeah, he can play bass and guitar.
I'm really offended.
Yeah, he was a little bit quiet, and I was like, man, you gotta rep yourself. You gotta put yourself out there, you know?
Come on. So I've been doing good.
That's good. That's really good. I'm really glad.
Getting ready for Easter. Like, I said that like 6 times now.
Yeah, this is probably the 7th time.
Okay.
And you know, 7 is the number of completion.
Right. So stop.
So yeah,
at this point, you're like, look, dude, I don't feel bad for interrupting you. Just shut up.
Shut.
Stop sharing about Easter.
Yeah, I think I'm doing something for Easter.
Yeah? Does your wife think you are?
I think so. I don't know.
You better figure it out, dude, or you're going to find yourself.
I just let her make the plan, and then I just go along with it.
Right, but you need to be somewhat connected to the plan. You know what I mean? Well, you know, I don't know.
I think with my wife, it's important
that I'm connected with the plan.
Yeah, I don't think she cares so much. I think I do know the plan.
Mm-hmm. Good.
But I'm not sure. So,
hey, that's as close as you can hope to be.
I think so. I mean, what else do you really want from me, you know?
Yeah.
If you want especially commitment, when you might buy-in, what?
What?
On a daily basis?
It's like we're married or something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy. All right, so we talked a little bit about nothing.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, what else?
Oh, go ahead. Oh, no, you go.
I was just
gonna, you.
I'm going to get us into a whole nother thing. So
okay. I was just going to say, do you have any recs, man? Recommendations? What you been into, my dude?
What have I been into?
Because I got some recs.
Music-wise?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. I don't know. I don't have enough information to drop my recs, but I do have some. Maybe for next week I'll drop them.
All right, sweet.
Because I need to, you know, there's some bands I've never heard of, and I've never been good at remembering song titles, and it's not a CD age anymore. I used to be really good at it, like, oh, so-and-so's newest album, track 8. Right, you can't really do that anymore. So, I will drop some. So, why don't you go ahead with yours and maybe it'll spring something up.
I keep saying that I've been listening to This Will Destroy You.
Yeah.
Which they do some really cool stuff. They I think they use like modular I don't know what you call that, modular synthesis, modular whatever. And then they have a live drummer as well. So that's really cool. And then they have they just do like ambient rock. And so again, I have no idea how many band members there are or anything, but they do some great stuff. And one of my favorite tracks by them is an oldie. I think it's from like 2007. Don't even remember the name of the album, but it's the song "The Mighty Rio Grande."
That's funny. So you're the opposite. Like, you don't remember the album name, but you know the song.
Yeah, I know what the album cover looks like.
Yeah,
but right. I don't remember the name of it. But yeah, "The Mighty Rio Grande." it has like a 5-minute build, and it stays interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it just does like one pattern over and over. And then every time it gets a little bit more intense. But they probably play it like 32 times or something like that. And then the drums come in and it's just hitting the beat. It's just. And it just gets louder and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it falls off. And then it's like 4 minutes of like ambient, like chill.
Yeah.
And. Awesome. Yeah, so that's a really great song. I mean, the whole album's great.
Yeah, so let me drop some names. I want to drop a name real quick. You have a couple, right? So I'm going to, like...
I could. So
I have something different. Some friends of mine who run a ministry in Spokane called Street Reality TV. So it's not just a ministry. It's a TV channel TV show, not a channel, TV show. And they air on CMT TV, Community Minded Television. I'm not sure where their slot is, but you can look them up. Street Reality with Tamara Patterson. And so they were here yesterday. She's a good friend of mine, and they were here. So I'm writing. I get to write some intro music for them.
Dope.
And then also they're going to use some of the stuff I've been working on as like transitional music for their show. I don't know why I was going to say podcast, because it's not. It's a show.
It's a show. It's a show, gosh dang it.
They also got an opportunity where they're going down to L.A., and God TV is going to put their show. This is potential. It's in the works, but God TV is going to put their let their show air on their network, which is really cool, because a lot of – I don't know. I haven't – a lot of what I've seen on God TV is pretty fluffy. I'm telling you, man, my friend's Street Reality, it's no fluff, dude. This is like their real deal, like on the street.
Well, I hope so. Loving with people. A name like Street Reality.
Come on, talk like, about the name.
Let's get that real real.
That's real real, right? That's a great name.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, check them out.
As long as it's real real. If it's just like the floofy floof, then it's not a great name.
No.
But if it's real real, then it's a great name.
No, no, they're real real. Yeah. Sure. Like, they go in love. They're awesome. They ain't afraid. They're bold. They go loving on, everyone. And you have to check the show out. God does some really awesome stuff with people, like engagements right on the street.
Dope.
Now they're going to go to L.A., Venice Beach, and so just how eclectic, like, the group of people in the area there, it's going to be really cool. So there's my rec, Street Reality. Check them out.
Dope.
And, yeah, when you check them out, like, hopefully here in the very near future, you'll be hearing some really cool music. You're probably hearing some cool music, not as cool as what you're going to be hearing later, because that's going to be the music that I'm writing.
Yeah, what's up?
So Toby Mac said that, you can use my track for an intro, but I only own 35% of it. So they're like, okay. So then they had to talk to Capital, and Capital's like, sure, for $1,400 every time you want to show it.
Or nah, bro. Right, so or nah.
We're going to hook them up.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford that.
For an intro. So I mean, it's
a if great it plays song. Once a week, no way could I afford that.
No. And I think they want to do twice a week eventually. But
that's crazy talk.
Yeah.
Spending that much money? Mm-mm.
So do you have a burning desire for another rec, or you want to move on?
Oh, dude, I could talk about wrecks for days, but if you got something else to talk about, then we can talk about it.
Well, I was just thinking, you brought up a couple weeks ago about song structure. No, you didn't. Well, you probably did. But
I probably did, yeah.
You brought up, maybe this was a personal conversation, but you were talking about why songs have gotten shorter over time. I thought maybe we could talk a little bit or pick out a song that has a refreshing song structure. And when I say that, I mean, modern music, it follows kind of this prototype, right? Of
yep.
Chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, bridge, and some variations, right? And it's typically like between 2.5, 3.5 minutes long. And that's your stereo, your radio song, mainstream song. And so it's really, for me, I don't know how you feel, but it gets old. It gets played out. It gets like, if I've never heard the song before, and then, here comes the chorus, it just gets.
Yeah, and if you hear, to the point where it's like, chord progressions even, mm-hmm. It just kind of all runs together.
Yeah. So was that your rec? Is that what you were doing? Was your rec about song structure?
No, but it can be.
Okay,
sweet. Because it's cool.
Is it?
But, I got recs for days, like rec. I was saying.
Drop it like it's hot. Yeah, so yeah, confession for me, I have been listening to some really cool stuff, but I've, my schedule's been boom, 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 boom. So I haven't really got to research as much. I've been definitely spending more time working on business stuff and music myself. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like The Plastic Beach, which is an album by the Gorillaz.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said the Gorillaz. It's just Gorillaz. Don't Even Talk to Me about, wait, what was that album they did? I don't remember. I don't even care.
So don't even talk to me. And then he starts talking to himself. That's great. Don't even talk to
Dr.
me.
Phil, what was it called? Dr. Phil, please don't send me to the ranch.
You're going to the ranch.
Yeah, I love the Pasco Beach. I think that's a great intro. You got Snoop Dogg, you know, just talking about stuff. Talks about rubber duckies a little bit.
Is this a song?
This is a real song. Yeah. I would play it. I don't know if I can. But, yeah, so it just the intro track is just called Welcome to the World of the Plastic Beach. And the whole album is kind of like an environmentally minded album for the most part. But it's really, I would say, more generally, it's about the Western world and, like, how we perceive reality and, like, how we just are constantly consuming. And there's a lot of really creative stuff on that album.
Yeah.
And like there's one track called White Flag. Oh, wait, let me finish Snoop Dogg first. So yeah, it just comes in and it's got like this horn section and just Snoop Dogg's coming in. He's like, the apes. You know, he's just kind of like doing his like his mumbly thing.
Yeah.
And the music video is just him like wearing like a sailor uniform. It's really strange. Anyway, it's a great album. And one of the songs, it sounds like they just kind of opened up a toy and they're just like playing sounds from the toy in rhythm. Like, it's really weird, but yeah. It's just like, and it kind of forms like the basis for like everything else that's built around it.
That is cool.
Yeah. And Mos Def is on it. Two tracks? At least one track. I don't remember. But anyway, it's a great album. And that is pretty much every song on that album has a really cool song structure.
Yeah. Yeah, like you even talking about that, you know, that, you know, taking a toy, taking these sounds and then building it into a song. Already right off the bat, you know, the beginning of that's going to be really progressive. You know, it's not, it's an intro, but it's not, you know, what is this, a verse or, you know, so yeah, I'm excited. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Let's, I'll show you after this.
All right. Let's rock it.
But yeah, so that's one of my, I mean, honestly, like that was one of my most played albums when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't remember when it came out, but when it came out, I was like, I was bumping that.
Gorillaz. I've gotten actually a couple different people that had said some of the stuff that I've been working on reminds them of Gorillaz.
I could see that.
I took that as a compliment.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, their two newest albums. I don't remember the names. But their newest one's called The Now Now. That one's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The one before that had like two, maybe three like solid tracks. Mm-hmm. But there's like 20 tracks on the album, and they're pretty much all terrible.
Really?
I thought they were terrible. Yeah. Like, they had no, like, none of the originality of Plastic Beach was on there. I mean, they're fine. Like, they're pretty well produced. But the songwriting is just bleh.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of it, I think, was there's like a ton of featured artists on that album. Mm. And I think they just ruined it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be straight up.
Yeah, Gorillaz is that's part of what you buy in for them, you know, is who they are, you know, and unless you're that's you know, they're unique in their philosophy and their concepts of how they approach music. And so it's hard to have features on stuff like that unless they really, really get where you're coming from. And you wouldn't want to do it very often. You know, it's like a cherry on top every now and then.
Well, I mean, Plastic Beach featured artists on almost every song.
Okay.
But it was really cohesive. Like, they were, like, if they were a rapper, right, they're rapping about the concept.
Right.
Like, they're within the bounds of the album. Okay. It doesn't stray too far off course. Like, especially, like, Snoop Dogg's stuff. Like, it's a little random, but it plays into the concept.
Well, I could see that, like, even picking Snoop Dogg for that. Like, I mean, you could probably have him write a verse and not even tell him what the concept is and be able to use it with that concept because, you know, part of his style sometimes is just really kind of random all on its own. And, you know, it's got that laid back feel. So anything with beach in it kind of resonates.
Yeah. Yeah, what were we talking about? I don't remember. Oh, just
song structure.
Song structure, yeah. So every song on that album is strange in some way.
Yeah.
And so I'd recommend it just for that.
That's awesome. You know?
And then in the realms of other genres, what are they called? I'll be getting into a few new bands, but it's kind of like I just kind of have them on, like, that's kind of what I do. I just get, like, multiple albums at a time, and I just, like, shuffle them. Mm-hmm. So, like, oh, I'm going to listen to this album today, and then I just ignore it. So, like you, like, I don't – nowadays, I don't really, like, look at, like, oh, what's this track called? And mm-hmm. then, like, look at the track. And I listen to albums all the way through for the most part. Mm-hmm. So if I don't like most of the songs on an album, I don't listen to the album. Yeah. So I very much take it in context.
Yeah, which is awesome. See, and I don't do that. Yeah.
That's pretty much exclusively what I do. So yeah. – If I don't like if there's like three songs in a row that I would have to skip to be able to listen to the album, like mm-hmm. I'm done. Like,
mm-hmm. Gotta keep me.
Come on, just like lay it on me. I got
it. You got me with the first track. You got to keep me here now.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's a courting. You're courting.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that. Besides This Will Destroy You, I wouldn't say that I've gotten into anything that like super impressed me. But I keep coming back. So
yeah,
I guess if I am still impressed next week, then I'll bring it up.
Oh, I do have a wreck.
Wreck it up.
I could probably find it. Okay, cool. So let me share a track. Let me share a track.
Sweet.
Song structure. Really like this track. It's a little older now, but Pray For Me by Kendrick Lamar, and it's got The Weeknd on it.
Mm.
It's from the soundtrack. Oh, this is interesting because we were talking about this when it first came out.
We were.
What? Blast to the Past.
Yeah.
From the soundtrack of Black Panther.
Yep.
I heard this song after that conversation, but really, really like this song. Structure-wise, I feel like it's very different. You've got, you know, Kendrick spits one verse in this song in the middle of it. And I guess you can call The Weeknd's first part a verse, you know, but The Weeknd, he's just, everything he sings just sounds like, for the most part, like a really, it's just a hook all on its own, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got a really nice timbre of his voice, and it's just, you know, it's just cool. It's smooth. Anyway, yeah. So you could call the first part he does a verse, and then it goes into what I would call the chorus. Kendrick's got a verse on it in the middle. And then there's a repeat of the chorus. And then there's, you know, a whole nother part that The Weeknd does that maybe you could call a bridge. But it's just cool. I for me, it's really refreshing. It didn't sound like anything, you know, out right now. And it was, you know, it was a big song. It was...
Yeah.
You know, big song, played a lot on the radio, and so, I mean, especially being being on the top of the charts, you know, and being refreshing was even more refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely rip on pop a lot, but I actually feel like what I've heard of The Weeknd, like, impresses me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny, but yeah, I feel like a lot of people rip on him, but I think almost everything I've heard of his, I'm like, I could jive to this, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it a lot. I was, you know, I know we've shared this. I was a huge Michael Jackson. I still am. You know, huge Michael Jackson fan.
Yeah. Can you separate the pedophilia from?
Yeah. I haven't had time to research music. So, I mean, not going to go into that.
Yeah.
Yes. At this point I can.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a whole bunch of documentary stuff that's come out, you know, fairly recently. I haven't watched any of it. You know, there was always the speculation in the middle of his career.
Yeah.
You know, so it got awkward, like, hey, what's going on here? You know, but nothing was ever proven. I don't know. I haven't watched any of the new stuff coming out.
Yeah.
So for me, I've existed in the land of he's a strange individual. I don't know if he'd done anything like that to anybody. But, you know, I got turned on when I said I wasn't going to go into this.
I know. I was like, this took a turn.
Yeah.
I accidentally unlocked something.
Yeah, sorry. So anyway, I don't know what about that part of it.
Yeah.
What were we talking about before that?
Michael Jackson, song structure, something.
Michael Jackson song structure or something. I don't think that's how it went, but
it was something like that.
Anyway, yeah, Pray For Me, Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd. Oh, that's what I was going to say. The Weeknd, his vocals, you know, he has something in his voice that reminds me of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, stylistically, I think that Michael is an influence on him. And, like, the way his vocal sounds is similar. And so it's, I kind of was like, well, I want to hear what this guy does, you know, from the beginning of hearing his first stuff. And so I agree. He's one of the, he's a refreshing artist. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That was like, whoop, whoop, whoop,
whoop, whoop. And then it was like,
bloop. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. That makes sense, right? If you're listening to this?
I think so.
If not,
it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Should we just like drop it like it's hot?
I don't know. That's all I had.
Yeah.
To talk about. But
well, that's all I had. Like we actually had something to talk about.
I know. I'm like yeah, this is professional. So yeah, let me just check. Yeah, that's everything. That's everything I've got. So
I covered it all.
Yeah, and this is the news. This is the Sound Mind Report.
Yeah. So awesome. Okay, so we're going to have Chris Adams next week, right?
Yeah, he's a baller.
He's a baller. He is the bass player and lead singer of your band.
Correct.
Yes.
He can do two things at once.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty
and
crazy.
And he's a guy, so that's really special.
It's difficult to do two things at once.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I do kind of like background vocals on a couple of songs, and like some of the riffs we write are not easy to sing and do at the same time.
Right.
So I'm just like, frick, I don't know how you do it, but.
Yeah. Bass, that's a whole nother animal.
And that animal is savage.
It is savage. Well, it seems like a lot of times with the harder music, like the bass does kind of happen more on the beats, you know? Which seems like it'd be a little bit more easy than music that lends itself to like the off rhythm, you know, bass lines. Trying to sing.
Yeah. Chris does a lot of weird stuff though. Like
he does, yeah.
Maybe unnecessarily weird. We should ask him, but
right.
Yeah, it's just like he'll do weird stuff just because he's like, it needs a little flavor.
Yeah, let me try these.
Let me sprinkle it in. Because Chris is Salt Bae. It's fine.
I had to add some weird sound effects just because I had to add some weird sound effects.
I don't blame you. What I'm thinking at the end of every podcast is, why does my butt hurt so much?
I have an answer for you.
Why?
It's your car seats.
My car seats? What?
Yeah. You have really uncomfortable car seats.
Well, that's definitely true, but what about these?
Not the problem. And by these, he is signaling to my studio stools.
I think that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, you're
They're
mistaken.
Made of wood.
He comes in here with a sore butt and then blames it on my stools, and
I didn't come in here with a sore butt, but I'm going to leave with a sore butt.
Okay, so he also lies. I'm just kidding. Yes, okay, let me clear the record. Yes.
Clear the record.
The stools are extremely uncomfortable.
They are.
And so you guys don't know this, but we sacrifice our comfort of our hind end to bring you these tangents.
Yeah, which are very hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody could pull off a tangent like this.
No way.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're doing two things at once. Almost. So anyway, yeah, we're going to have Chris Adams, and then Malachi Arad is going to come back. He never came. He's going to come for the first time on May the 3rd.
Yeah.
So yeah, look forward to that.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Skytree Studios, that's where we're at right here. That's where we is. Check us out, Facebook, Instagram, and website coming soon. Yeah.
Is that it?
I think that's
it. Is that all we got?
All right. Next time.
God bless.
He's doing the finger thing.
I am doing the finger thing. Once more.
Okay. We're done.
We're done. Stop doing the finger thing.
I can't.